Sunday the 23rd of June 2013, 10:45 service. Sermon series, A Journey Through Acts. Sermon title, The Church That Reaches Out. Bible reading, Acts chapter 16, verses 1 to 10. Talk by Roger Whipp.
Acts chapter 16 and verses 1 to 10. He came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they travelled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in number. Paul's vision of the man from Macedonia. Paul and his companions travelled throughout the region of Phrygia, Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to, and so they passed by Mysia, and they went down into Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And this is the word of the Lord. And Roger's going to come now, and I'm just going to pray for my brother. Lord, Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the dedication of this man. I thank you for the integrity that he seeks in you and in your word. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless him today. I pray that you would bless the word that goes out from him. And that he would be our teacher because he is speaking your word and you want to teach us. So bless him at this time and in this place for this moment, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning. Isn't it good when something comes together? You'll see from what I've got up there that my suggested remit for today's sermon, based on this reading, was, if possible, to mention three ways that a church reaches out. Thoughtful and caring teaching, guided by the Holy Spirit, and to specific needs. Of course, time limits will only mean scratching the surface of some of these. However, and I think it's been confirmed this morning, I felt as I prepared it that the second one, that the prompting of the Holy Spirit, should be the main emphasis of my talk today. But of course, the other two are closely linked anyway. Former President Ronald Reagan likes to tell a story which he says is true about a newspaper reporter out in Los Angeles. He was called in by his editor and told of a fire that is raging out in Palo Verdes, and that's the hilly area to the south of Los Angeles. His assignment was to rush down to a small airport, board a waiting plane, get some pictures of the fire, and be back in time for the afternoon edition. Breathlessly, he raced to the airport and drove his car to the end of the runway. I think I've done it manually, Colin. Okay. And sure enough, there it was, waiting at the end of the runway, the plane, engines revved up, ready to go. He got aboard, and at about 5,000 feet, he began getting his camera out of the bag, and he instructed the guy flying the plane to get over the fire so that he could take some more pictures, loads of pictures, and get it back to the newspaper. And then from the other side of the cockpit, there was a deafening silence. And then he heard these unsettling words. "Oh, aren't you the instructor?" And as a consequence, the trainee pilot spent the next 15 minutes listening intently, and I guess praying as well, listening from airport control, and together with the help of an Air Force jet, the plane eventually landed safely. When we become a Christian, we start a new journey walking with God. Both as individuals and as a church, we're called to a mission to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And just as our pilot and reporter, our journey will have highs and lows, it'll have fears and doubts, excitement and joy. Fortunately, we too have an air controller to help us on our spiritual journey. In John 14, verse 15, Jesus promises that after his death and resurrection, all believers will have the power to call on of the Holy Spirit to be our counsellor, to be our guide, to be our comforter, to be our healer. And that's just a few of his attributes. And just as our trainee pilot listened intently to a higher authority, it's crucial that we too listen to our spiritual sky pilot, God, the Holy Spirit. We've got to listen to his route, his strategy, his will and his purpose, both for us as individuals and for this, our church. Or should I say, his church. There's one way that God speaks to his people. We're just going to see a video from one of my favourite films. I know it's a fairly long clip, but I thought that you might as well have two for the price of one, and I included part of James Brown's sermon in there. So if something I say doesn't touch you, I hope something that James Brown said, you know, the Lord will come like a thief of the night and make your commitment to him while you still have that opportunity. Now, that is worship. Wow. You know, I can't wait for the Holy Spirit to come in even more power in this church. And I just say, ladies, take your stiletto heels off first before you do your backflips, all right, for health and safety reasons. There you go. You know, it amazes me who God can choose to do his work, his mission. I mean, people like me and even some of you. It's incredible, isn't it? And in today's reading, St. Paul is also on a mission for God. His second missionary journey. And we have a final example of someone who is totally and completely in tune with God. And we're also introduced to young Timothy, who, although young, was to be used greatly by God, and with encouragement from Paul, became one of the youngest pastors of a church. Because he was a half-caste, he had a Jewish mother and a Greek father, he would have been despised by many people. And Paul asked him to be circumcised, not because he had to. After all, in the previous chapter, the Jerusalem Church Council had already decided that circumcision wasn't a requirement, it wasn't going to be a ritual for Christians. But he probably thought that it would assist losing some of the stigma that the Jews attached on half-caste people, and it would help him to relate better to them. And as my Life Application Bible points out, sometimes we need to go beyond the minimum requirements in order to help our audience receive our testimony. In other words, sometimes we need to go the extra mile. Thankfully, in my 27 years as an itinerant evangelist, I've not had to make that sacrifice. And I haven't had people requiring as to my private parts. No circumcision. Oh, just the thought of it makes my eyes water, you know, especially for an adult male. Going the extra mile can also include the way that we prepare for a mission or anything that we do for the church. For example, when I was invited to go to Albania, I was advised, and I did try to attempt to learn some of the words of their language. An impossible task. Out there, yes and no, the movement of the head is totally different to the way we do things. And also, I had to learn some of their culture and some of their customs. And before I went, I discovered that one of their delicacies was a dessert that was made out of the rind of a watermelon mixed up with distemper paint, for those that remember the old distemper paint before emulsion became popular. And I also learned that to refuse anything that's offered to you in Albania is a big insult. Yes, you guessed, I had to go the extra mile. And I must admit, it wasn't as awful as I thought it was going to be. Now, when we lead a home group or we preach, how much effort is made to make sure that our teaching is right and relevant to the person that's listening? And I think we must also consider when it's right to concentrate our efforts on specific tasks. And as we certainly reach out, as Paul was directed to Macedonia, we need to be in tune with the Spirit. For about 9 years, I've been part of the team from this church that go out occasionally on the Saturday to the High Street and evangelise. And nothing really heavy. We often give them things out and we hope that conversations will take place. And I confess that although the more you do it, the easier it gets, I don't find it's particularly easy going out on the street and approaching a total stranger and starting a conversation, particularly if it's about the church. But you know, the words came up this morning. I worship an amazing God who never stops amazing me. So you don't always get the time to speak to everybody if it's a busy Saturday. And you can't speak to everyone that walks by. But I like to be open to the Holy Spirit's prompting. And so often he tells me to speak to the most unlikely people. You know, not the ones that I think would be an easy target, a comfortable target to talk to, like little old grannies. You know, I've spoken to guys that should really be on the pitch of American football. You know, they're dressed like that. You know, big guys. And I've spoken to people of ethnic minorities and different religions. Wasn't easy, but we've had some really good conversations. One day we had a prayer station out there, and there was a lady in a terrible hurry, rushing along. And the Spirit prompted me to go up to her. And she said, these were her words. She said, I don't believe this. I don't live here, but I'm visiting a friend. And although I don't go to church anymore, I am desperate for prayer. Isn't that incredible? Now, we don't know how the Holy Spirit spoke to Paul. And we don't know to any great degree why. To know God's will doesn't mean that we have to necessarily hear his physical voice. The Holy Spirit can speak to us in many ways. You may remember last year I did a sermon on words of knowledge and prophecy, which was just a few ways. If you missed that talk, I'm sure there is a recording if you want to catch up on it. Sometimes it can be through a prophet or a deep inner conviction or some other circumstance. What is important when we seek God's will are these four important things. One, make sure when seeking God's will and purpose, make sure that you're in harmony with God's word, biblical teaching and instruction. Secondly, and you like this one, ask advice of another mature Christian. Okay, next one. Check your own motives. Are you seeking to do what you want or what God wants? And the last one. Pray for God to open and to close doors of circumstance. And I suggest from personal experience that you do all four. Twice in our reading, God closed the door on Paul. He was forbidden to speak in Asia and his route was redirected. When doors slam in your face, it can be very painful, both in the physical and figurative sense. I don't know if Jehovah's Witnesses or not look like it, don't they? About 20 years ago, when I applied for ordination, thinking that it would be in harmony with God, and I certainly was encouraged by many in the fellowship that we were in at the time, as well as other churches that I'd spoken at. You know, I guess that was in line with the first two points that I've just made. But I have to be honest regarding points 3 and 4. I can't say that I heard God's voice loudly calling me into full-time ministry. And I certainly didn't pray for the door to be closed because I wanted to do it. After jumping over some of the hurdles on the way to becoming ordained, the door was very painfully slammed in my face by the arrival of a new vicar. Sadly, disagreements or disputes, even between Christians, is nothing new. In the previous chapter of Acts, we can read about the dispute between Barnabas and Saul. And such disputes, although not always instituted by God, can often be turned around to his advantage. For example, Paul's evangelism team, although now divided, allowed the gospel to spread in two different directions. As one door closes, another opens, as the saying is. And in my case, the very next day after my painful experience, I got my first invitation to go to the USA to preach. God not only opened the door, but he expanded the door for my itinerant ministry. No longer was I restricted just to speak here in the UK, but as a result, I've been blessed. I've preached in 18 states in America, and I've been to such places as Albania, Singapore, and Northern Ireland. Now, I'm not saying this to boast or to put myself on a pedestal, but I want to encourage you, like I've been encouraged as I've prepared this talk. Because when the door is slammed on you, not if, you may also be encouraged. Because God may have another plan in your life. Remember this. This is a lovely quote I got off the internet. Remember that man's disappointments are often God's appointments. I'll say that one more time. Remember that man's disappointments are often God's appointments. Although God closed the door on me leaving the police force when I applied for ordination, a few years later, in his timing, and I believe in his will more than mine, he made it possible for me to take an early retirement so I could be fully available to serve him in a different capacity. Another example, before I became a Christian, I often asked him, well, one question I asked Maggie, and I did ask her quite a lot. I said, Maggie, if your God exists, why is it that we can't have children? On one occasion, when I was a policeman, I took five children from one family into care because of extreme abuse. And these are just a few of old pictures to show you the conditions I'm talking about. You know, if you've never seen abuse, this is the conditions they lived in. I won't go into the other abuse that these poor kids had to suffer. You know, and I got very angry, Maggie will tell you. You know, especially as I spent a lot of time with these kids, and they kept asking me, I wish you were my daddy. Why can't you be my daddy? And there are a couple of pictures. I was only with them, say, for a day, day and a half. And there's a couple of pictures I've still got 30 years on that they did for me to a dear policeman from Ray. You can imagine the anger that I felt, both towards the parents that committed it and if God existed against God. However, now as a Christian and with hindsight, I realise that God really does know best. You know, so often every cloud does have a silver lining. We don't see it at the time, do we? You know, a number of my police colleagues would have jumped at the opportunity to take early retirement, but financially couldn't because of their kids going off to university. Also, it made my itinerant ministry easy because I could travel without having to worry about what the children are going to do or caring for the kids. And it also enabled Maggie and I to travel quite extensively, including visiting about 80% of places that are mentioned in the Bible, including we travelled the route that Paul took on his second missionary journey. Now, I know for many, financial and other restraints would prohibit this. But I want to encourage you to give up Spain or Tenerife, to miss perhaps just 1 year and instead visit some of these places. Can you imagine the joy and the thrill of reaffirming your baptismal vows in the River Jordan, the very spot where Jesus himself was baptised? For Maggie and I, It far exceeded the wonder of Disney World, however much we enjoyed that. The Tower of Terror will never excite you as much as it's been baptised in, or reaffirming your baptismal vows in the Jordan. Also, it really has enhanced my understanding of certain biblical passages. For example, in today's reading, having been to Macedonia, and that is the northern area of Greece, not the one that they renamed in the former Yugoslavia, okay? We're talking about the area to the north of Greece. I know that going to Macedonia wasn't an easier option for Paul. You can see here, this is the area. Very, very beautiful, but very mountainous. And even in today, the roads are difficult to travel. In Paul's time, it would have been even worse. The church must get out of the habit of expecting people will come to them. But we need to go out to the people first. We say that in our love with Christ inside and out, don't we? Paul, on hearing the voice in his vision, didn't respond by telling the man from Macedonia to lead those people needing help to come over to him. No, he left his comfort zone, you know, and he went to them. They were in need. Outside these walls, we have our own Macedonia. Behind nearly every door is somebody that needs help. They need to hear and also see God's love in action. How sad it was when Care Chapel Heath never took off. We, together with other local churches, had the vision to show God's love in practical ways. A significant amount of time and money was ploughed in. But it never took off. This is before Martin's time here. But I'm sure he's aware of that scheme. My wife Maggie, bless her, like other volunteers on the road, has spent many days sitting by the phone hotline, but there was virtually no response out of over 1,000 residents who probably needed help in practical ways. In the space of nearly 1 year, we had one handful of people responding. Now, I'm sure that our plans were in harmony with God's word, biblical teaching and instruction. We were showing the love and action as we should be displaying, like the early church in Acts describes. We asked advice of other mature Christians in areas where the scheme was working well. And it had been very successful. And I have to ask the question, did God close the door? Or did Satan win a battle? Two of Satan's biggest enemies are fear and doubt. They can stop us or hinder our effectiveness in ministry and mission, both individually and as a church. For example, surely such a huge reordering project and this is going to bankrupt us. Ah, that will never happen, it's far too ambitious. I asked Maggie, as she was one of the Care Chapel Heath committee members, her views why it failed. And she confirmed some of my thoughts. Did we really fully commit ourselves to the task in hand? Yes, we have some saints here at Chapel Heath who did volunteer to give their services. But did we really fully back the scheme as a church? Why didn't we publicise it more? How many residents were aware of the scheme? You know, some of the committee were fearful that if they publicised too much, we wouldn't have the resources to cope. It's like saying, don't send us thousands of people to our church, we couldn't cope. You know, I bet there's some people would say that. About 27 years ago, at a healing conference, I was slayed in the spirit, for those that know what that means, just crashed me out. And God clearly spoke to me and he told me not he would never accept half measures from me, or from my church, which in fact is his church, but that's what he meant. Hey, I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but if I do anything for God, I try to do it well. Some of you might say accept your sermons, but there you go. And in closing, I just want to leave you with these three spiritual health warnings. Number one, no half measures. Revelation 3 verse 16 says this. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Are we really a sweet taste to Jesus? There's no doubt that the Holy Spirit has been moving in this place over the years. Yes, at times there's been reluctance, fears and doubts, which has quenched his power. But he, and I talk about the Holy Spirit here as a person, because he is, he will never stop prompting and pushing the doors that we sometimes try to close. Number two. God makes it perfectly clear in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 19 that we are not to quench, to put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. Although we are instructed in verse 21 to test everything. I love this. I had to slightly modify this cartoon, but I take your time to read this because this is important. If you can't read the bottom bit, anyone that's at the back, what the firemen say, the passage is from Acts, and it says, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came out to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and the old firemen say, send additional units quick. This blaze is out of control. And it's spreading. Wasn't that good this morning? I was hoping it was going to spread more. And the other firemen say, we don't want that sort of thing in my church. Not as if any of us would say that, would we? And the last spiritual health warning. Therefore I say to you, any sin of blasphemy shall be forgiven men, but blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. This is my own personal understanding, okay? But I personally believe that when we state that the Holy Spirit has spoken to us, especially when involving a major issue in the church, but the reality is it's our own agenda, and not truly inspired by the Holy Spirit, that too is a blasphemy against his holy name. Just remember those four things I mentioned earlier. Make sure that your plans are in harmony with God's word, biblical teaching and instruction. Ask advice of another mature Christian. And as I said on there, I'm not saying don't ask Martin and Christine. Don't misinterpret that slide, will you? Check your own motives. Are you seeking to do what you want or what God wants? And then pray, finally, for God to open and close the doors of circumstance. You know, I just sense that the Holy Spirit is saying to us here, and I think that's been confirmed this morning, that once both the church and, importantly, us also, are reordered, we will be given the Macedonian call once more. And victory can be won. Now, I'm sorry I got a bit emotional, but it means a lot to me reaching out. And I'm sorry that it's been a bit like this is my life. But I think testimonies and experiences are good to share with people. And I prefer to share things I know are true, not things I can see on the God channel and things like that. Sometimes you have to doubt how authentic they are. Okay. Anyway, let's just finish with prayer. Father God, forgive us when we have not been obedient to your prompting. We thank you that you are a God of second chances, that you will open and close doors so that we can live and work according to your will and purpose in our lives. Come again by the power of your Holy Spirit. Come to comfort us, to heal us and guide us. As we are anointed by your Spirit, may we have that same enthusiasm, the zeal and the joy as Elwood and Jake Blues on their mission to God. And I pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.